Amen. Amen. You guys can grab a seat. Grab a seat. Hey, some of you, we had some really awesome volunteers pass out some stuff whenever you guys walked in. One of the things you should have received, it's an FSM student worship guide. And so we made the announcement last week that you guys would receive these. These are for Sunday morning. You guys could use them on Wednesday nights as well, but we just wanted to get that in your hands. So that maybe tonight, as you follow along, this will help you just stay engaged with what God has us talking about tonight. And so, since there are no leaders in the room, you know they're going to be wondering, hey, what do we guys talk about? So, based on this guide, it's going to help you bring a lot to the conversation. So, if you need a pen, there's a few. If just throw your hand up real quick, there's some. Carol or Jesse will grab a pen for you, and you'll be good to go. All right, just hold your hand up. Ain't no shame in that game. It's all good. We're going to get you a pen. You'll be able to take some notes. It's going to be great. So how many of you guys are in 10th grade? I know some people have their hands up. Just nod your head like this. Let me hear from you. There's like four of you. So 10th grade. In 10th grade, I don't know about you, but I had to take this class called Algebra 2. Any of you guys taken that class yet? Anybody? Yeah, that class was awful, by the way. It doesn't get any better, so just throwing that out there. Algebra 2. Huh? Oh, well, see, I wasn't as smart as you guys, so I had to take it in 10th grade. So thanks. I appreciate that. So in 10th grade, because I wasn't as smart as any of you, I took Algebra 2. And in Algebra 2, I just didn't succeed whatsoever. Math and I have never been good together. And so one day, I showed up to Mrs. Patrasche's 10th grade Algebra 2 class. That's her name, too, I promise you. And I show up just, like, gleaming with joy because it was the rare occasion that I had shown up to Mrs. Patrasche's Algebra 2 class having my homework done. And I showed up like, this is awesome. You know what? I just learned some things. But hey, Mrs. Patrasche, I have a few questions. And so I asked her a few questions regarding my somewhat completed homework. And she looked at me and she was like, hey, Bubba, there's just some things you gotta know how to do. And I was like, wait. Hold on, excuse me, but just in case I forgot, you're the teacher, right? So you, as a teacher, I'm the student, you're supposed to teach the student things I don't understand, right? I didn't say that, but I was thinking it. I'm like, how can I get your job to tell people they just got to know how to do things rather than teach them how to do things? So I'm sitting there just like, you guys good, Hank, keep those hands up. I ask her a question, hey, I want to know how to do this math problem. And she looks at me and says, Bubba, there's got to be some things you just know how to do. So that was awful. I'm sitting there, and I feel like when it comes to prayer, we're continuing our series on prayer tonight called Real Talk. I feel like when it comes to prayer, a lot of us are sitting at the desk with prayer as the assignment right in front of us, and we feel like we're talking to ourselves saying, Alex, prayer is just something you got to know how to do. Or James, prayer is just something you got to know how to do, and we ask God to do something when we pray. We attempt to pray and we feel like it doesn't work. We ask God to do something and he doesn't do it. We praise God, but we don't feel God. We try all these different methods, but we just feel like we keep failing in this thing called prayer. And so tonight we're going to talk about not the way to pray. There's obviously not the way to pray, but there's some ways that we can pray. And so tonight we're going to talk through some of that. How many of you guys know what sport this belongs to? Golf, am I right? Yeah, it's golf. It's like a golf for an infant, but nonetheless, it's a golf club. How many of you guys play golf? Parker, my man, right over here, play golf. Are you lying to me? Okay, thank you. So when you're playing golf, it's a really challenging sport. You have to line up over that ball and you have to hit it a very specific way. Like, you don't see anybody just showing up and winging it on the PGA Tour, right? A majority of the people who play golf and swing this club, their swings all look the exact same for the most part. Because if you're like, hey, I'm going to experiment with this swing, and I'm going to try to do something different, you know what's going to happen? That ball's going to go everywhere but where you want it to go. Because you have to hit a golf ball pretty much the same way every single time. I know some of you out there are like, but you got to putt sometimes. I don't care. Just follow me here. You have to hit a golf ball the same way every single time in order for it to do what you want it to do, right? Other sports are a little bit different. What is this? What is this? You guys can talk, okay? Please. There's a lot of you and there's one of me. I need some interaction, so please speak up. So with a volleyball, what's the goal with this thing? Hit it over the net, right? There's a few different ways you can do that, am I right? If you're serving it, look alive. You can hit it underhand. Well, just catch it and throw it back. Okay, fail. I'm sorry, I'm not going to try to hurt anybody. So you can hit it like that. Hold on, just catch it, throw it back up here. You got it. You can touch it. It won't hurt you. Promise. Right here. Just right here. You can throw it here. There we go. Thanks, Jack. You can hit it overhand. You can hit it underhand. You can hit it overhand. You can hit it sideways. You can hit it with your fist open. You can hit it with a closed fist. Closed fist. Someone likes to hit it with a closed fist, okay? The point is, you just got to get this ball over the net. I know there's people who are like, you know, I do the rare back jump style, whatever. Well, you just got to do whatever you can to make sure that this ball gets over that net and hopefully lands on the ground, okay? So that your team can get a point. It's a little bit different than golf. There's a lot of different methods. Trying to talk to God through prayer can often feel like we're a golfer. Like, you try one way again and again, and you just end up angry because it's not doing what you want it to do. The story you tell yourself in these moments of frustration is that you just don't know how to pray, or that you're broken, or that God just doesn't want to talk to you, that whatever it takes to talk to God, it just isn't working. You become this angry math teacher who sits there and shames yourself, saying, hey, you know what? You just got to know how to pray. There's just some things you got to know how to do. But what if you just don't know how to do it? What if you're sitting there saying, hey, I get what you're saying. Like, you just got to know how to pray, but I just don't know how to do it. I just want to say, that's welcome here. That if you're sitting there confused, like, I've grown up in church my whole life and I still don't know how to talk to God, I want you to know I'm so glad you're here. Because we walk into these doors knowing that we're all imperfect people serving and worshiping a very perfect God. And prayer is not about a formula. It's not about hitting the ball the same way, the same time, at the same time, all the time. Prayer is not about a formula. It's about a connection. Prayer is about connection with our real and amazing God. So here's something to think about. Obviously you guys know what this is, right? It's a phone. What kind of phone? It's an iPhone. Just imagine, maybe some of you guys got a new iPhone for Christmas, right? Some of you may have gotten a new iPhone for Christmas. And on that phone, there's lots of different ways that you can communicate with the people around you, with your family, with your friends. You've just shout them out. What are some ways you can communicate with a phone? Cell phone. Snapchat. Texting. GroupMe. Twitter. Email. Facebook for old people. MySpace. Or, whoa, you can call somebody. Imagine that. So we got what? Snapchat, texting, Twitter, what? Christian Mingle, farmersonly.com, huh? Direct message, all that. So you can communicate in all these various ways on this phone, right? But think about it this way. What if you got that phone and you said, I'm going to communicate with my best friend only through calling them? Do you think you would talk to your best friend as often as you talk to them right now? If you said, I'm only going to talk to my best friend through one way of communicating with them? No, you probably wouldn't. You'd call them occasionally. But like, the beauty of this phone is that you can communicate with them in so many different ways. And that's the amazing thing about God, is that we don't have to have a perfect and specific formula when it comes to communicating with him through prayer. There's all of these different ways that we can do that. And so tonight, I just want to free us of the pressure to have this perfect formula whenever we talk and communicate to God. Because last week we covered this. Prayer is real talk to a real God. We talked about that last week. Prayer is real talk to our very real God. And here's the deal. If we have this very real God who wants to communicate with us and we want to communicate with him, this is really good news that we have lots of different ways that we can get to communicate with him, okay? And I'll have to be honest, I'm sitting in my office this morning putting the finishing touches on this message, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, just had my hands every once in a while, I'm feeling a lot of anxiety, sitting there reading over the passage that we're going to be talking about. I've read it a lot, I read it a lot. I prayed a lot. And I'm sitting there, and I just have to tell you, I felt a lot of anxiety. And I kind of, if I'm being completely honest, just felt like a fraud. Because I'm sitting there finishing up a message on prayer when I feel like I don't know all that much about it. I've been walking with Christ for over 10 years now, and prayer is something that I've barely even scratched the surface on. I know there have been moments of prayer that I've had this real deep and personal connection with God, but I know deep down within me, like, I desire to connect with this God in a more real way, but I'm figuring this stuff out. I want to communicate with God in everything that I do. I want to know Him. But I'm just being honest that's where I'm coming from tonight. This is what I am learning about prayer. And I hope that as I learn something about prayer through God's word, God would teach you something as well. We're going to be in a passage tonight. It's Matthew chapter 6. So if you got your Bibles, just turn to Matthew chapter 6 and kind of bookmark it there for a second. And obviously, we know that Jesus spent a lot of time talking with God, right? I'm going to get that out of the way. You guys can say right. Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Sometimes he prayed thanking God. Sometimes he prayed more formally. Other times he was crying out to God in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was handed over and tortured and crucified. Sometimes he was praying with his disciples over people that God would heal them. He prayed as he walked. He lived in constant connection with the Father through prayer. Jesus did that. And so if the goal of prayer is a real and personal connection to God, if the goal of prayer is a real and personal connection to God, it was obvious that the disciples would ask Jesus, hey, would you just teach us how to pray? Would you teach us how to pray? And they record it in the Bible. And luckily, Jesus didn't look at his disciples and say, hey, there's just got to be some things that you just know how to do and walk off. No, Jesus did not respond that way. He actually gave them a model on how they could pray. He gave them a model, a way they could pray. It didn't have to be the way that they had to pray, but it was a good starting point for them in their efforts to connect with God. So that's what Jesus does in this passage that we're going to read tonight. There's nothing like magical about this passage. I just want to put that out there. There's nothing that's like, oh my gosh, if I do this every time when I talk to God, it means I'm going to have this amazing connection with Him. No, that's not what it means. But the reality is it gives us some good steps to take whenever we're desiring to communicate with God. And I'm going to follow this model that I've heard before. It's called the Acts model. It's called the Acts model. A, which stands for adoration. Can you guys say that word? Adoration. Say it one more time. Awesome. There's C, which stands for confession. Say confession. Confession. Amazing. There's T, which stands for thanksgiving. Say thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Say thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Okay, awesome. And there's S, which stands for supplication. So say supplication. 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 Acts. It's just a cute way that someone taught me how to remember, hey, here's some things you can pray. And I was like, hey, that stuck with me when I was in middle school, so I'm going to keep thinking that way. And so Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And we'll see that in this prayer that Jesus prays. It's not going to be exactly laid out that way. So right off the bat, you're realizing this isn't a perfect formula. No, there's adoration in this prayer. There is confession in this prayer. There's thanksgiving in this prayer. There's supplication in this prayer. But it's kind of spread throughout, and it's kind of mixed up. So that's just a way to remind you of things that you could remember while you are praying. Let's read this together. Let's start in Matthew 6, verse 9. We're going to read all the way through 13. Then we're going to break it up a little bit, okay? So in verse 9, it says this. Pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen. Amen. So we look through that passage and we see a few different things. So we see the Lord begin by saying these two words. It says, "Our Father who is in heaven." Our Father who is in heaven. Jesus begins this prayer with adoration. He's saying, for you who are in Christ, you're to begin praying, saying, "Our Father," which when we say those two words, "Our Father," we need to feel the weight of the significance of those two words. How do we do that? We remember who we were. We used to be, whenever we were apart from Christ, sinners, judged by God, enemies of God. Yet, God in His grace sent His Son so that we might be saved. God sent His only Son so that we could become children of God, which leads us to saying, "Our Father." This is adoration. This is us remembering who we were, now believing in Christ, who we are. So therefore, our response is, "God, You're gracious. I didn't deserve this. I didn't deserve what You gave me. So you know what? You are gracious because You sent Your only Son so that I could pray to You and call You my Father." We recognize God's power in this, saying, "Hey, You, our Father, You defeated sin. You defeated death. Again, You sent Your Son so that I didn't have to bear the penalty of my sin. He bore it for me." When we claim our Father, when we're adoring God as our Father, it's not like we're reminding God of who He is. God isn't sitting up in heaven just like needing us to say, "Hey, I need you, Tess, to remind me who I am because I've kind of forgotten." No, the reality is when the purpose of adoration is not to remind God of who He is. He knows He's powerful. He knows that He is perfect. He knows that He's full of perfect justice. He knows that He's full of perfect love. He knows that He's full of grace. But when God invites us to pray to Him through adoration, He's saying, "Adore me so that you would be reminded of who I am." We don't adore God to remind Him of who He is. We adore God to remind us of who He is. Because you and I both need to remember constantly how amazing and how big and how awesome our God is. And so that's what Jesus does in the beginning of this prayer. He says, "Our Father who is in heaven." And then He continues saying, "Hallowed be Your name. Hallowed be Your name." This is where the piece of thanksgiving comes in. Like right off the bat, it went from adoration to thanksgiving. It didn't go adoration, confession. So I'm telling you, it's not like it's this perfect model. It's just a way that you can pray. But He says, "Hallowed be Your name." How many of you guys know what hallowed means? Yeah, I didn't know what that meant before I started studying this either. Hannah, you're a genius, but I didn't know what it meant. But basically, when He says hallowed, it's simply put, it's holy be Your name. And I'm not going to do justice to the word holy. I know that. But if you're like, "Hey, what does the word holy mean?" It means, God, You are set apart. And there is nothing like You. God, You are holy. There's nothing like You. You are set apart. And the reality is the adoration and thanksgiving, they're kind of two sides of the same coin, because when we begin to adore God, when we call Him our Father, the reality is the only response we can have is begin to thank Him for the amazing things that He's done in our life. It's showing God gratitude for the way that He has saved us so that we could call Him Father. It's remembering, hey, this is what God has done in our lives to save us. And so the only right response is to thank Him. So we adore God for His grace. We say that He's big. We say that He's awesome. And we say, "God, thank You for what You've done in my life. Thank You for revealing this to me." You know, gratitude to God, it's humbling to our hearts because it has to place our hearts in a position to where we remember that we're not the provider. There's a passage that I love in 1 Chronicles 16, 8. It says this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Speak of all His wonders. Glory in His holy name. And let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad." So when we say, "Holy be Your name," it's us responding, saying, "God, there's none like You. And that's amazing. Thank You for allowing me to know You. Thank You." If you want to deepen your prayers, I would invite you to make a habit of spending maybe 2 minutes a day writing down, hey, here's three things I'm thankful for today. I'm thankful I passed my math test. I'm thankful that my parents have a good marriage, or I'm thankful for the food that God provides for me. I'm thankful for the fact that my dad survived cancer. I'm thankful for fill in the blank. And I promise you that will move you to a deeper place of prayer. There's this piece called supplication, and that's just a fancy word for we ask God for things. Supplication is just a fancy word for asking God. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. So Jesus is simply asking, hey God, I desire for your will to be done on earth. Would you remind me that your will is more important than mine? Jesus is saying, hey, pray and look to the future. Ask God to change what the future could be like. But then when you pray, give us this day our daily bread, it's reminding ourselves that God is our personal provision each and every day. And so when you ask God for things, I wouldn't make this big deal about it. Like, well, what if it's not God's will for me to ask for this? I think you're going to find out God's will whenever you ask for something, because it's either going to happen or it's not. But simply put, Jesus invites us to call God our Father and ask him for things. It could be as simple as, hey God, I've studied for this test, and I just pray that you would remind me of the things that I've studied. God, I'm asking for help in how I relate to my little sister, because she's really annoying me right now. God, I just want to ask that you would give me a desire to pray. God, I know that you desire for me to lead in certain capacities. Would you provide opportunities for me to lead in certain ways? Like, these are things that God has just invited us to ask him for. And so I just encourage you guys to do that. And the last part of this is confession, where Jesus says, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And as we sit before God, there is this need for us to recognize, hey, there are so many ways in my life that I have done things that are not according to your will. I have to confess to God to remind myself that it is only by grace that I'm saved. You have to confess to God to remind yourself that it is only by grace that you are saved. When we confess to God our sins, it's not like we're having to re-pray the prayer to ask Jesus in our hearts. That's not what's happening here. What's happening here is just, it's a reordering of our loves. It's a reordering of our desires. It's saying, hey, God, you know what? Oftentimes I desire things that aren't of you, and I know that's sin in your mind. And so, God, would you help me in these specific areas? Would you reveal to me your grace? That's what confession is about. It's reminding us that God's grace is sufficient for us in our weakness. So remember, that's just parts of this model. There's adoration. There's confession. There's thanksgiving. There's supplication. There's asking God for things. And I know some of you might be sitting there like, hey, you just flew through that. Yes, I get it. If you could just remember adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, that might be a simple way for you just to start talking to God. Remember, you don't have to say all the words perfectly. You don't have to have this. Again, it's not a perfect formula. It's just there to help you connect with God. And I know some of you might be sitting there, okay, I get it. This is just a model. But how can I really cultivate a consistent connection with God? How can I do that? How can I truly connect with God on a consistent basis? And the reality is, in order to connect with God, we just have to learn how to speak his language. In order to connect with God, our prayers, the words we say in our prayers, should arise out of an immersion of spending time in the words that God has shared with us. We get to know God through the words that he has spoken to us in this amazing book. And we connect with God through responding to God with words from our hearts and mouths. We get to know God through this word. We connect with him through prayer. And I know I shared this with you guys last week, but after I graduated college, I took a few months, and I spent those few months in Peru. And I went down to Peru to basically serve at a church that our church is partnered with. And the problem was I couldn't really speak Spanish. I knew a little bit of Spanglish, but I couldn't really speak Spanish. I'd taken a few years in high school. I knew some of the formalities. I knew how to say me llamo Baba. That's about it. The problem was I didn't know the language, and also even in addition to the translator while I was there. So it was like, hey, you know, have fun. So I showed up freaking out, sitting in a church service, not understanding a word that's coming out of the pastor's mouth. And I would stand there and begin trying to talk to someone that was at church, and I would stand there awkwardly, and they would be like, I don't know what you're saying. They wouldn't say that. They'd obviously say that in Spanish, and I'd be like, I don't know what you're saying, and we just would stare at each other awkwardly. I didn't know how to speak the language. I couldn't use words that they understood, and so I couldn't connect with this people. If I wanted to truly connect and share my life with this group of people, I had to learn the language that this people spoke. And so, again, I would sit at the dinner table, and I would go and have lunch with different families, and I would sit at breakfast, and they would just pepper me with questions. And again, I'd be sitting like, I don't know, no entiendo, soy gringo. I'm white. I don't know what to say. I just don't get it. But over time, syllable by syllable, and word by word, and sentence by sentence, I picked up on how to communicate. Amor, Biblia, biblioteca, me gusta, café, donde está el baño, because I was immersed in the language, I began to learn the language. And because I began to learn the language, I began to connect with the people that spoke that language. And I will say that over time, after the few months that I was there, I had some of the deepest connections I've ever had with people. I went from not being able to say one sentence to be able to a couple of months later, being able to sit for hours with my good friend Mario Perez and begin to share our joys and our struggles and our temptations and our testimonies with one another. We would talk for hours. We got to share our lives with one another because there was a common language. I will say this, if you want to connect with God in a real and personal way, immerse yourself in His words. If you want to respond to God in a way that connects your heart to His, immerse yourself in His words. If you don't know what to do when you immerse yourself in these words, your 242 leader, I promise you, will give you a good step. But we take a step toward Him, and we immerse ourselves in these words, and I promise you, you'll begin to learn the language. And then you could use that simple model that I gave you tonight, the ACTS. And I promise that over time, the connection that you have with the Father will grow, and it will be real, and it will be personal. Father, thank you that you have not left us alone. Thank you that you are our helper in our time of need. God, thank you that you've spoken your word to us, that we have it readily available right in front of us, your word, your holy word that we can immerse ourselves in. And I pray that you would help us make sense of it. I pray that as we leave this room tonight, you would give us a strong desire, every single person in this room, especially myself included, you would give us a desire to immerse ourselves in your words so that we could respond to you in genuine and real prayer. We love you, God. Thank you for revealing your perfect love through your Son so that we could pray to you, our Father. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.